Right, good evening, everybody. Now, the last twice that I've preached, I've been having trouble with my tablet, and so this time I've gone back to paper. Yeah, I'm okay, thanks. And if that don't work, I'm going back to papyrus. Would you like to put up the scripture for me, James, please? Right, we're reading from Acts 8, verses 26 to 39. And if you would like to read round, it'll save my voice a little bit.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet.
The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless somebody explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him.
This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth."
The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?"
And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing.
All right, thank you, everyone. Now we have here the account of a remarkable incident that occurred to Philip, one of the founding apostles of the church. Philip was one of the first disciples and was called by Jesus at the same time as Peter and Andrew. We find that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, after the day of Pentecost, and at the time when the church was growing at a very rapid rate, the Pharisee Saul started to persecute the emerging church. A little later on, with the stoning of the death of Stephen, all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, and Philip went down to a city in Samaria and began preaching Christ. His preaching was accompanied by many miraculous signs and wonders, and a great number of people were added to the church. And as a result of his ministry in Samaria, Philip is rightly called an evangelist. As Philip was preaching the gospel in Samaria, we come to the start of our text tonight. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, and as Philip obeyed the angel and went down to the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. The man was a high-ranking official in the court of Candace, the Queen of Ethiopia. In fact, he was the Chancellor of the Exchequer. As was befitting his high position, he was travelling the road in a chariot. Now, the text is not very descriptive at this point. Perhaps Luke seemed to assume that everyone would automatically know how such a high-ranking official would travel. But because we don't have the benefit of first-hand knowledge, let me just describe how this man would probably be travelling. The chariot he was riding on was not the narrow single-seat chariot that we see in Ben-Hur racing around the Colosseum. This official chariot would be a large and luxurious vehicle drawn by at least two and maybe four horses. The occupant would be on a highly padded seat, wrapped in fine rugs, and there would probably be curtains around him to protect him from the dust of the road. He'd be accompanied by an entourage of minor officials, of servants and of soldiers. There would be mounted soldiers in front and behind, and there would be foot soldiers around the chariot itself. This man was a very important representative of his queen and country, and he would travel in a style that fitted his status and with the security that was necessary to protect him. The whole entourage would be travelling at a fast walking pace so that the foot soldiers could keep up and so that the official wouldn't be shaken about too much by the rough roads. And it was to this great procession that the angel directed Philip. Now, the fact that Philip got anywhere near to the official was remarkable in itself. But near to it he did get, and so near that he could hear the official reading as he travelled along the road. And as Philip drew near, he heard what the man was reading and recognised it as being from the Jewish scriptures. So Philip asked the man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now let's just consider the man and what he was reading. This man was an Ethiopian, and although he was highly educated, Hebrew wasn't his native language. He was reading ancient Hebrew scriptures, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah, which in addition to being in a language different from his own, was dealing with concepts and was in a style that was totally alien to him. Although he was reading the scrolls, and although he understood the language, he really had no idea what the prophet Isaiah was talking about. But why was he reading it at all? We can only guess, but we can make a very good best guess by what we know of the man and his situation. So what do we know of him? Well, he was no doubt dark-skinned, which is very vital here, in that the gospel is now beginning to span ethnic people groups. He comes from Africa. He's one who is in charge of the Queen's treasury, and because he works closely with the Queen and her court, he is a eunuch. The man is probably wealthy and probably a God-fearer, which is the title given to those Gentiles who practice certain aspects of the Hebrew worship. He's on his way back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem, and that was a 5-month trip each way. And because he was a eunuch, he was denied full access to the temple. According to Deuteronomy, eunuchs were denied access to the assembly of God. So here we have a man who is not Jewish, but a Gentile Ethiopian. He's also unclean by the fact that he's a eunuch, yet God, in his mercy, sends Philip away from mass evangelism, where thousands are being saved, to visit one man travelling to his home far away. And maybe because he was a eunuch, he didn't fit in very well with his own people. Maybe it was because he was different that perhaps he looked for someone or something that would accept him as he was, for who he was. He found no comfort in the company of other men. They just laughed and jeered at him. And often the women wouldn't be any different. Very often they would be more sympathetic, but there was still that barrier. Women would try to mother him, they'd pity him, but they could never accept him for what he was, just someone looking for acceptance. Not even the many gods of the Ethiopian nation helped him, for who can form a relationship with a wooden or stone idol? Perhaps as he was struggling to find acceptance, he heard of the God of the Jews, who accepted the stranger, the alien, and the outcast. This God of the Jews, who was not made of stone or of wood, this God who actively sought a relationship with his followers. Perhaps he asked himself if it was possible that this God might receive even him. And that's possibly why he travelled to Jerusalem, to seek this God who might accept him just as he was. But when he arrived in Jerusalem to try and discover this God of the Jews, he received yet another disappointment. For there enshrined in the scriptures of this very God that he was seeking was the dreadful news of Deuteronomy 23. Through no fault of his own, he was denied access to the temple. Can you imagine how he felt? He travelled all those miles, over all those weeks, endured the long, uncomfortable journey in the chariot, seeking the God who might accept him, and now he finds that even that God has rejected him. Access to this God of the Jews was denied to him. He was not allowed to enter any part of the temple. Even the women had their place in the temple. The other Gentiles had their place there too. But there was no place for him. So once again, he was rejected, cast out, alone and despised. Can you just imagine the humiliation and the rejection that he felt? His high position, his wealth, his influence, they meant nothing here. He was cast out like a dog, rejected by men, and it appears even by God. As he sadly left Jerusalem, he purchased some of the scrolls of the Jewish scriptures. Maybe he was hoping to understand by studying the God of the Jews. And as he wearily travels back to Ethiopia, he reads the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And here he reads of another who was despised and rejected of men. Another who suffered the rejection and humiliation that he was suffering. Was the prophet Isaiah talking about himself or about another? It was so hard to understand. What did it all mean? And just as he's wrestling with these things, he's aware of a man running alongside the entourage. He looks and sees from his clothing and appearance that this man is a Jew. Well, maybe he can explain what this prophet's talking about. So he invites him up alongside the chariot and is astounded when the first thing this man asks him is, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He invites Philip up to the chariot and Philip begins with that very scripture and tells him of Jesus. What a revelation. Here is one who has suffered just as he has. Here is one who understands exactly what it's like to be humiliated and rejected, laughed at, mocked and scorned. But here that same one holds out an invitation to be accepted, but to be treated just the same as any other man. Here that same one will look on him and accept him irrespective of who or what he is in the natural. Unless we've been in this man's position, we can never fully understand what he felt at that time. Here, for the first time in his unhappy life, was the possibility of being accepted just as he was, with no preconditions. Here was somebody holding open a door to him that could lead to happiness, fulfillment, and most of all, acceptance. As they travel along and Philip explains the gospel, the Ethiopian believes and accepts Jesus as his saviour, and he experiences the joy of being born again. Of being born again not as an Ethiopian, not as a eunuch, not as a high-ranking VIP, but as a child of the living God. Can you just imagine the joy of being accepted just as he is? We are just spectators looking on from afar. But this man's experience, probably for the first time in his life, is the joy of being accepted. And as they travel along, they come to some water and the Ethiopian asks, "Look, here's water. What's to stop me being baptized?" He orders the chariot to stop and he and Philip go down into the water and he is baptized. As they come out of the water, the Holy Spirit takes Philip away and the Ethiopian sees him no more. However, as he goes on his way back to Ethiopia, he's rejoicing because he no longer feels rejected and humiliated. He's accepted. He's a child of God. And what more can he ever want? But this incident should speak very powerfully to us today.
Yeah.
There are many reasons for us in this short account. See the importance of obeying God in what he asks of us. There's no indication that Philip hesitated when he was instructed to go down to the Jerusalem road. He just went. He wasn't told why. He wasn't told what to do when he got there. He was just told to go. So he went. And it wasn't until he actually arrived at the road that the next instruction was given to him. That's how important it is for us to obey God without question. Whatever he asks us to do, we must do without question or hesitation. The next step will be revealed when we need it, not when we want it. And then we must be prepared to obey him in whatever he asks. In the natural, Philip would be apprehensive about approaching this important man, and especially since he was surrounded by an armed guard. But by obeying God in this, Philip opened the way to a remarkable work of God. We never know what obeying God will lead to. We don't have a clue about what God has planned or what part we are to play in his plans. We do what he asks. We may well see great miracles and wonders, especially the miracle of new birth. But this incident also shows us the amazing love and grace of God. This Ethiopian was a very troubled man. Rejected, humiliated, scorned, he was a man who felt an outcast and who believed that he didn't belong anywhere. But God went to great trouble to bring this man to the place where he could hear the gospel, respond, and be welcomed into the family of God. I'm sure that there are many people today who feel just like that Ethiopian felt. They too feel rejected and worthless, and they struggle to find their place in the world. Even some of us who are Christians struggle with this and try to understand our place and our role in the church and in the kingdom of God. And there are many reasons why people can feel like this. Maybe their childhood and upbringing has left them feeling unloved and worthless. Maybe they've never experienced the unconditional love and acceptance that's the right of any child. Maybe there's always been that feeling that they don't fit in and that somehow they were a mistake. Maybe they feel that everyone takes them for granted and uses them and never really considers that they are a person in their own right, that they have feelings and needs and desires too. Maybe they find it difficult to find a job where they're valued and approved. Or maybe they struggle to form a meaningful relationship because their experience has always been that of being let down. Maybe they've learnt from bitter experience of the hurt that comes from trusting someone and then being abandoned. Maybe they feel different because they're not as well educated or don't consider themselves attractive or because they can't really afford the latest fashions. Whatever the reasons, and I'm sure there are many reasons, these people feel rejected, worthless, and valueless. And I'm sure there are many people who are like that. We live in an age that offers so much, but also demands so much. In an age where the pressure to conform to the mythical ideal is so very strong. But I want to declare that there is a solution. There's no reason for anyone to feel rejected and worthless. There is someone who does care, who does consider that you're valuable, who does love and accept you just as you are. Someone who has experienced all that humiliation that you experienced, all that rejection, all that scorn. Someone who has suffered the appalling cruelties of this world. Someone who, as the scripture says, had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was that man. He who came from heaven, he who had the whole world in his hands, he who by his word created the whole universe, willingly put it all to one side and became a man, just like you and me. And more than that, he deliberately decided to be the poorest of the poor. He decided to be misunderstood, rejected, and humiliated so that he could be just like any one of us. He deliberately went to the cross of Calvary to pay the price of our wrongdoing, to purchase for us the freedom from the chains, physical, spiritual, and material that bind us. Surely, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. This Jesus, this Son of God, came to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. We, the Church of God, have the good news, and we should take every opportunity to proclaim it to a hurting world. Yes. This age in which we live has produced so many casualties, so many who feel that they can't measure up to the demands of the world, so many who are hurting and depressed, who feel rejected and worthless. But the good news for all of those people, for every one of us, is the answer is there in Jesus Christ. He can bring value into your life. He can make you feel accepted. He will never humiliate you. If you identify with this Ethiopian tonight, if you feel worthless and rejected, if you feel that you can never fit in, then I've got some great news for you. God loves you even though he knows all about you. He loves you so much, he sent his only son to die for you. He sent his beloved son to pay the price and wipe your slate clean, to wipe away anything that might make you think that you are unacceptable. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So just like the Ethiopian, all you have to do is to believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is the answer, and you will find that he is. So if there's anyone here tonight who needs to know how Jesus can help them, how he can restore them and love them, then come and see one of us after the meeting and let us introduce you to the greatest friend you can ever have. The last verse of our text tonight says, "The eunuch went on his way rejoicing." Well, let that be the experience of every one of us tonight. Let's go out of this place tonight rejoicing because we are totally accepted by Almighty God because of what Jesus has done for everyone who believed that he's the only answer. Jesus can set you free. Believe it and accept it, and you will go on your way rejoicing. Amen.